What is up? There's another episode of the Lads Talking Footy podcast. It is my Sam, joined as always by my man, Jordan Tana. Mate, how's it going?
My Sam and my Jordan, we're here and we're ready to take on another week of good picks. We did all good this week. Let's see if we can keep rolling, man. The Lads Talking Footy, getting you some money.
Oof, sounds good, mate. Do you want to take us through how we went?
Yeah, so like I said, we had a pretty good week. I went 6-8 and then you also went 6-8, which it's kind of good considering we went against each other on a couple of picks. The week started off with the Storm beating the Broncos 34-32 in a real close game. I took the Storm 1-12, which came through. You also came through with Will Warbrick anytime try scorer into Broncos plus 17.5, so a good collect there.
Started off strong in that one. I thought, oh, here we go. We're into a new different kind of system on how I'm going to take my bets. And first game off a rank, come through with a nice juicy $3.10. Yeah. I thought, here we go. But then you walk us through here, it was just turned to shit after that.
Yeah, and it's kind of like last week with your Dylan Edwards. Your hope got high early, and then it just kind of sort of fell away. But, you know, there was still some good collects here. This one, unfortunately, was not one of them because Bulldogs beating the Roosters. Roosters having an absolute shocker, 30-26. I picked the Roosters 13+, so obviously went wrong there. You've gone Tedesco anytime try scorer who got knocked out, Dom Young anytime try scorer who got red carded, and then the Roosters just to win, which they nearly did, but unfortunately three strikes and you're out there. Chaos that game.
Yeah, absolutely shocking. The only thing that came out of that one that was any sort of positivity is we got to see how many plates Dom Young can put on the bench press, and fuck, that was an impressive chest the boy had on there. Swinging elbow didn't go down too well, but yeah.
Nah, well, it kind of like showed that he has a real powerful shot on him because he knocked Blake Tuff completely out, folded him over himself. So, not a good look, man. Maybe use that gym work for better things. Knights beat the Dragons 30-10 in an absolute torrential rain shocker. The cameraman needed to wipe his camera a few times. Knights head-to-head, I went sort of an eat-ass one. That came through. Ravalawa, anytime try scorer, into Dragons, plus 36.5. Unfortunately, you went down there. Next game, Warriors, beating the Rabbitohs, 34-4. Up yours, Cast Patrol. Never go against the Waz. I've taken the Waz, minus 4.5, which came through. You've gone Watini Zalesniak, anytime try scorer, into Warriors head-to-head, which, once again, you're the king of the pushers, man. It's another voided bet. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it seems to be a running theme at the moment. We've ended up getting voided through 365 on the Tedesco leg on that Roosters one, and then again here on Dallin. So we've started off well with one win, one loss, and two pushes.
Yeah, just getting absolute even odds back. So, I mean, you can't complain. You're not losing anything. Seagulls, this one you would have loved. Seagulls beating the Panthers, 32-18. I've taken the Panthers minus 3.5, which unfortunately went down. And you've actually gone with the Panthers bet, unfortunately. Taruva anytime try scorer and Panthers hit, which went down. But you got to be happy the Seagulls still got the job done.
Yeah, exactly. I knew they'd get up for DCE. The script might have been written in that one, but the boys, yeah. they came home strong, though, which is all you can ask for. But yeah, huge game from the Eagles there.
Yeah, very nice. Dolphins. They got the win over the Tigers, 26-16. I've gone Dolphins 1-12. That has come through. You've gone Bostock, anytime try scorer, into Dolphins head-to-head. Unfortunately, Bostock not crossing in that one. Cowboys beating the Titans on Sunday, 35-22. Cowboys 13+, minus the plus, just comes through on the nose, 13. And you've had an absolute blinder in this one because you've gone the big three. Felt anytime try scorer, Drinkwater anytime try scorer, Taulagi anytime try scorer, and the Cowboys 13+ all come to collect. So great hit there for you.
Yeah, that was fantastic odds there. $8.50 odds in that one for the big three. I was sitting there watching, I think I messaged you when Felty came through, and then Chad Townsend manages to anchor it for the lads. They were up by 12, and then he wants to knock over a little bit of field goal practice and put it up to that nice 13 margin, not the plus, but the 13 gets the tick along with the other four ticks in that one. So that was fantastic.
Yeah, I don't think Roy liked that drop goal very much because he missed out on a $500 bet because of it, because he obviously wanted to juice it up by going last goal type conversion. So anybody watching this, be warned, that is not always the best thing to juice your multis with. Raiders destroying the Eels, 41-8. I've tried to predict a close game. I've gone Raiders 1-12, which has not come through. And then you've also kind of gone the way of a close game. You've given yourself a big margin with the Eels plus 17.5 and a Schiller anytime try scorer, but unfortunately the Raiders blew that through doors off them.
Yeah, crazy. I was sitting here and I was anchoring at home with a plus 17.5, thinking if it does go out 13 plus, it's not going to go that far out. But lo and behold, it did go that far out. And yeah, we didn't get the result in that one.
Yeah, very impressive from the Raiders, man. Repeat set bet. 5 in a row. I have gone Warriors head-to-head. When you back the Wilds, good things happen. So take the 5th one there. And you've come home with Cowboys 13 plus. Like I said, 13 on the nose. We can still take that to the bank. The 40-20 bits. I've gone 0 from 5 on those because that still hasn't hit for me. Valentine Holmes, anytime try scorer. And Roosters 13 plus. Both missing on those occasions. And King of the Push strikes again. Kenny Zalesniak, anytime try scorer. Young anytime try scorer who, if you do it on 365, he would have been a scratch as well. And then Cowboys 13 plus. So, yeah, another even money return.
Yeah, not a bad result. So my recap of that one, we actually had a 13.25 unit collection on the round. That obviously includes the pushes in that one, but yeah, really anchored home by that Cowboys $8.50 odds there. So that takes my current units for the season to plus 42.85. So if you're a $10 unit bidder, you're plus $420 right now. Ooh. So that round was good, and I've induced it up too much in this one. There were no big three bets in this, but we've got a few ones once we get into the preview. As for the Telegram recap, which is our NRL free betting tips, we staked 62 units on the week, and we had a 74.24 unit collect. So our biggest win from that one was Dean Mariner into Warbrick at $6 odds. So not a big collect there from the boys, but we're still up in the green. So if you want some free tips, jump in there and follow us along. No headlines this week. We've got a couple of listener questions, which we are going to jump into. And so we've got two here from Sam Branks. And the first one is directed at you, JT. So as we all know, I run the social media for our page on Instagram. So I do talk to a few people, and we're 6 rounds in, and I've been doing 5 weeks worth of therapy sessions with our good friend Sam Branks, who is a very loyal Rabbitohs supporter. He's sick of my opinion. He wants to know what yours is. What are the issues with the Rabbitohs, and how do we fix them?
Well, it starts at the very top, in my opinion. It's a pretty generic answer, but the way I've seen their efforts in these couple of games where they've been smoked, it hasn't looked very good from them at all. There just doesn't seem like a whole buy-in and intensity and effort for them during the games. Like, the forward pack is still very strong. You got Totola, Kalo Maitangi. You still get good go forward off them, but it's not a balanced offense, and they've kind of lost their way with the left side as well. They're not as deadly down that left side. Doesn't help that, you know, people are coming in and out like Alex Johnson and Isaac Thompson and stuff like that. Campbell Graham is no longer in the team as well. So they are dealing with some injuries. But I just don't think there's a whole lot of team chemistry there. And, you know, when the team is good and you've got a good team chemistry and you've got a good environment, you see like next man up in Penrith, then they still have, you know, amazing performances, and the guys that are filling those spots do an adequate job and can keep the ball rolling, like Schiller, for example. Oh, Schneider, sorry, not Schiller. So, yeah, I think there's just problems from the top down, man. Once they get rid of Demetrio, bring in a new coach, restructure the organization a little bit, I think that's when things will start changing for the Rabbitohs. It's like your generic NBA rebuild session. I think that's what they need to go through. Hawkins, I don't know if he's the answer, because his attack seems very catch pass. He's got a very good kicking game, but when they go down that right side, there isn't a whole lot of enterprise in their attack, and the shape doesn't look too good either. So yeah, I think it starts from the top. Then you can sort of weed in the players that aren't performing as well as they need to be, and then make those additions from your junior grades. Because the Rabbitohs won last year, if I wasn't mistaken, right? New South Wales Cup.
Yeah, they did. And a lot of these young guys were a part of that as well.
Yeah, they've got good talent ready to come up and fill those gaps. So It's dire straits this season. I don't see it going too well for you, Sammy Branksy, in terms of the Rabbitohs. But, you know, if a few changes are made from the top and in the team, you should be able to turn it around next year.
Yeah, I agree with you completely on that. It does start from the top down, and it seems like there's a big culture issue within the Rabbitohs. We saw that at the back end of last year with Sammy Burgess leaving the club as well, and he's obviously found early success with Wigan overseas. Completely different kettle of fish, but when you've got legends like that leaving the club, issues are obviously within. It came out a story, I think it was yesterday, to do with Alex Johnson, and Latrell Mitchell had been awarded an award for his efforts with involved in the tackle with Josh Adokar the week beforehand, and Alex Johnson had questioned or called out Demetrio on it. I don't believe it was in a team format, it was just afterwards, as for his reasoning behind it. Because it was an illegal tackle, and it was not an illegal tackle, but it was placed on report, it was reviewed, and it could have been really dangerous. And he was sort of questioning Demetrio on sort of what kind of standard he's trying to set within. And then lo and behold, Latrell obviously puts up the elbow on Sean Johnson. We've got the dangerous tackle with this one as well. And this week, which has obviously suffered the consequences. And then Demetrio calls him out in the press conference, and sort of in terms of his standards and stuff, but he's rewarding him literally a week prior to that. It seems very confusing what's going on, sort of what the standard is around the team, and it almost doesn't seem like it's solely on Demetrio. He may just be the puppet that's having the strings pulled, but I mean, we're going to get to it in the preview. He's got a bit of a Armour Kane ad going at the moment with his decisions around team naming, and it is a bit of a... JD, you've done it again, mate. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens this week. Second part of this question is, are the Dolphins a team that will play finals?
The way they're looking at the moment, they are looking like a genuine top eight team. I do see contenders that I favour more than the Dolphins at the moment, like your Storm, like your Panthers, like your Broncos, like your Warriors. I don't think they're in that top echelon. But the way they've played, with the improvements they've made, the depth they've made in the forward pack with Flegler coming in and a couple of those other good players, they actually look pretty strong in the forward pack. I know this past weekend they completed at 86% against the Tigers team that have been completing highly, which kind of got them that result and turned the game. Marshall King has been a real good threat around the ruck. And what they've added from last year is a little bit more threat and a little bit more enterprise. So Hammer is at probably peaking compared to what we've seen him. He's in his best form. And they've just got dangerous players on the edge that can actually break games now. And they're actually willing to, like, push it. And Nikorima is a more attacking mindset half that is trying to push it and trying to make attacking plays. So I like the Dolphins. They are a genuine good team that can beat anyone on their day. I just don't have them in that top four echelon. But I think they can sneak into the lower half of the top eight.
Yeah, I like it. I think Isaiah Katoa has come leaps and bounds since last season. He's really turned into starting to turn into an accomplished half. And when I say that, it's his kicking game. It was very noticeable on the weekend. I thought he was absolutely fantastic for them. So you add that with Hammer and obviously Herbie that comes through, and they've got some nice pieces that are building. But now they play the Broncos this week. The Broncos play finals, and that's why I'm going to start comparing them here for that reason. Yep. So the Broncos have played the Roosters, the Bunnies, Panthers, Cowboys, and Storm. They've won two of those games, but looked super competitive throughout it, showing their depth with no Walsh, no Payne Haas, Reynolds in and out. And they literally just dropped to the Storm in Melbourne on the weekend, and I thought they were absolutely fantastic. Now they're a team with only two wins and a lot to come. The Dolphins lost to the Cowboys, but they've beaten the Dragons, the Titans, and the Tigers. Three teams that are not making the eight this season. Yes, they beat them, but I want to see them against some better competition. And so I think this question will come maybe 3-4 weeks down the line. If the Dolphins can string it together against some of these better teams, be competitive, or knock a couple of them off, I think they are a team that can potentially hunt for that lower sort of seeding within the eight. But at the moment, I'm not quite convinced. It'll be an interesting ask this week with the depth question, and obviously Katoa going into Suncorp and playing against this Broncos outfit as well. But I mean, super impressed with what I've seen from them. The spine looks fantastic. There's a lot of upside to the Dolphins. I think the one interesting thing this year for them is the Wayne Bennett factor and sort of how they group together for him as he sort of obviously starts to depart his Dolphins era, and then sort of what's going to come moving forward from them in the years to come as well, how that team's actually going to develop. But I mean, to answer that, I think the Dolphins, they could play finals this year. I'm not convinced on it just yet. I want to see them play some of those top tier teams, because if you're beating teams like the Dragons, the Titans and the Tigers, yes, by good margins, but they're not going to be competitive teams this year. So yeah, we'll see when push comes to shove.
That's sensible. You still got to see where they're at, because they could get dicked by the Broncos like they did the Cowboys, and then
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's going to be a very good test for them this week as well, coming in with no Kafusi and with no Herbie as well. So we'll see. Now, Power Play of the Round, brought to you again by TBC Live. Download the app if you haven't already. It's a $100 NRL voucher each week for the person that takes it out, so you can go and get yourself a nice jersey, or the Heritage jerseys that are dropping, or the Anzac jerseys that are coming. Why not? My Power Play, though, of the round, Reed Marnie's hit on Dom Young at the beginning of the Roosters-Dogs game. It set the tone from the get-go. You could tell straight away that those 2024 Dogs in the 04 jerseys, the 04 boys in the sand, you listen to a lot of the backstories on it, the dinners leading up to it, the jersey presentations, they came out. Reed Marnie wanted to set the tone from the get-go. He came out and he gave Big Dommy a whack. He hit him so hard, he dropped the ball, he fumbled a tackle a couple of plays later, and then he thought, fuck this, I'm going to get Taff back and I'm going to go cool. Hit the showers earlier. So if you're power playing that hard, sending the boys to the showers that early on, absolutely fantastic. Reed Marnie, set the tone, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, really got in Dom Young's head. If you're a fantasy owner of Dom Young, he ended up on minus 12 points. So you hate to see that. And the Bulldogs scored points right off that play as well. So absolutely great play from Reed Marnie. Really got his team fired up and started the game the perfect way that you want to. My power play, once again, comes in a losing effort, but it was just so amazing that I had to highlight it. It was Zach Lomax's flick pass try assist in the torrential rain against the Knights. The Dragons shift it to the right side, get it to Lomax, but he gets run out of a bit of space. You got Tuwala and Bradman Best pushing him over the sideline. He should be going out for all money, but then all of a sudden just flows the most perfect, beautiful 15-meter flick pass infield to Ben Hunt for the try assist. I mean, he says he doesn't like it on the wing, but when you're looking at things like this and the performances he's been having, I can't tell, because he is playing outstanding, and this power play just shows the confidence that he has to play any position, I guess. So Zach Lomax, shout out, because that was an absolutely amazing flick pass.
I couldn't agree more, and it's kind of interesting that he keeps on harking on about not wanting to play on the wing, but the way he's going right now, he could potentially play himself into a Blues jersey at the moment. He's playing absolutely out of his skin. Now, performances of the round. I couldn't single it down, so I've gone for four players in this one, and I'm going to put them all together, and that is the Warriors spine. Sean Johnson, Tamate Martin, Wade Egan, and CNK. So between them, they combined for a total of 3 tries, 5 try assists, and 5 line break assists, which is a hell of a shift from your spine. They tore up the Bunnies through the middle of the park. We're so used to seeing the Warriors with that silky finish, that silky shape on the edge there, and that's where they hit it. Or Johnson will play that short ball to a nice edge forward coming through, and that's what they did early on, Jackson Ford going through. But then they just ripped them to bits through the middle. And if I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at the Titans' woes at the moment, and I'm circling them in on Anzac Day at home, and I'm thinking, this is just going to be an absolute masterclass through the middle there. But in this one, absolutely fantastic. Wade Egan, there is so much noise coming through at the moment about whether he's going to play Origin this year. I really hope he's going to give this a really good push. I think the only concern for him is obviously the head noise. I don't think he's going to be a hooker that could start a game in Origin and sort of demand that animosity right from the get-go. But, I mean, in this, he was just absolutely fantastic. Those little silky plays through the ruck where he's picking up and he's going to the left and he's falling off his left and he's hitting a double pump to CNK and then putting it straight through the middle. Johnson, T-double-M following up on the inside. It's just... it's so good to watch, man. Warriors footy, they're really attacking from everywhere.
Yeah, I'm glad you kind of cheated and highlighted all of them because they all deserve a lot of praise from this game. Wade Egan, you touched it on the nose. He was absolutely outstanding. He was killing him around that ruck. And he is well deserved to be in the conversation for hooker for that New South Wales Blues jersey. I'd say it'd be Robson, and then I'd say he's right there second underneath with Cookie being, we'll get to it in the team list, but dropped pretty much. And then Appy Carousel, he's also a contender, but, you know, I still think there is things that Egan does that Carousel doesn't, and vice versa. So it's close between those two, but he's definitely put his hat into the ring. Sean Johnson, once again, just making the perfect reads when they get in the strike zone. Short balls to the right man, getting them over for tries. CNK, he was outstanding in his return, other than, you know, maybe the worst tackle attempt I've ever seen on Isaac Thompson. But other than that, fantastic. Chait just looks so much better with him in the line, and then also just threatening around the ruck. Absolutely outstanding from him. Yeah, Warriors, what can I say? If I had a power rankings today, I think that would be right up there. Like, they are looking super, super slick and super complete, like you've highlighted. So, man, up the Waz.
It's a movement that's going on at the moment. It's a big, yeah. Up the Waz is, it's only going to get louder as the season goes longer. As the season gets longer, Billy Slater touched it on the nose as well. He knows it. He can see it. We've all seen what Billy does. And, I do believe that we've got the depth and we're playing all these different styles and we're going to be better for it. It's the first game we've seen CNK back in all year. And you could tell that they were almost just holding those plays around the ruck for him for in this game, just to see what they've been working on in preseason. Man, it gets you excited. They can attack from anywhere.
Yeah. And I've never really liked Billy Slater, being a New South Wales supporter myself, but I'm starting to warm with him with some of his takes about the Warriors. So shout out Billy Slater. My performance of the week is one that kind of affected me very personally because it's one of my favorite players. And I decided to take a risk and captain him in both my fantasy normal and fantasy draft. And that's Scotty Drinkwater from the Cowboys. Love me some Scotty Drinkwater. He ended up with 81 fantasy points, double that. So that's 162 for me. Got me the win in both of those. Two tries, 188 run meters, three line breaks, one line break assist, one try assist. So kind of reverse. He's usually the one giving the line break assists and try assists, but he was the one doing the line breaks. Also had five tackle breaks, two offloads, and 136 kick meters. So he took a bit of responsibility there as well. Outstanding performance. First try, spots a prop and a tired David Fifita, takes them on, fends off the prop, goes over for his first try. And then the second try, just a silky little backdoor off a Chad Townsend pass, untouched, in for a second. And then because, you know, they're kind of styling and profiling the Cowboys, he starts having a bit of fun with it, gets the ball off a bit of loose play, and then does the old Magic Johnson. It can be either or. It can be Magic Johnson from NBA or Magic Sean Johnson, because it was a nice little short ball, no look, pretends like he's going out the back, but hits Reece Robson on the short, goes in for the try assist. He was having fun out there. Unfortunately, the Cowboys started, you know, crumbling and nearly let the Titans all the way back in the game, but a Carl Feld intercept sealed it. But Scotty Drinkwater, I love when he's in this sort of good form. I love when he's on my fantasy team, and I love when he's playing with confidence. So hopefully this keeps up so we can get a bit of Dally M traction.
Yeah, I love it. He put the high ball woes behind him in the previous week, and he put the ball in his mitts and just made some magic with it. Scotty Drink was absolutely fantastic. And we're going to move into our Dally M Lad Awards. So if you followed in last week, we got three tiers to this one, collecting 3 points, collecting 2 points, and collecting 1 point. Jordan, do you want to run us through who is grabbing the Dally M points of that round?
Well, very competitive round this week. It was hard to separate three above the rest of them, but we've gone with some pretty good ones. To start off, we've gone Jerome Hughes with 1 point. He had a fantastic game. Kind of stood out in terms of the big three playing. He was like the fourth guy out of that equation, but he kind of separated himself as the best player on that field. So shout out Jerome Hughes, good Kiwi boy. 69 fantasy points, one try, 106 run meters, one line break assist, two try assists, and 290 kick meters. Good win there for the Storm and Jerome Hughes. And then it has to be the milestone man, Daly Cherry Evans. He's getting 2 points for us. They got the win over the Panthers, 32-18. He had his fingerprints on all these little plays that, you know, got them over the line. The intercept that sort of turned things in the Sea Eagles' favor. The little bobble try that he scored off a Tommy Turbo break. 86 fantasy points, 6 assists, one try assist, and 593 kick meters. Shout out Dally Cherry Evans. And 3 points this week going to the man we've highlighted before, trying to keep that traction for New South Wales going. It's Wade Egan from the Warriors. He gets the 3 points for us. Absolutely outstanding performance in and around the ruck for us. 91 run meters, two line break assists, one offload, 39 tackles in 80 minutes of play. Wade Egan gets our Dally M 3 points for the week.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was super hard to try and round them out, figure out who was actually going to get the three, the two. And we wanted to just give the 1 point out to five different guys, but you can't really give quarters and one-fifths of a point to all of them. So it was absolutely fantastic. Now we're going to move into the grab of the week, which I'm going to take this week. And we've got a little game here, Jordan. So we've got two players. Player one, zero tries, zero try assists, one offload, two tackle breaks, one line break, made two tackles, zero missed. He ran for 119 meters, made one error, and he played 45 minutes. Now, player two, he finished with zero tries, zero try assists, three offloads, four tackle breaks, two line break assists, two tackles. He missed three, finished with 84 run meters, two penalties conceded, one error, and placed on report twice. He played a full game. Now, player two, if you haven't worked it out, is Latrell Mitchell. Player one is Jordan Rapana from the Raiders.
Oh.
So the Raiders were up 13-0 at halftime. We thought Rapana had dislocated his kneecap or something. Now, the reason why I'm highlighting him is they were up 13-0 at the break. They were at home. Now, that just come off an absolute shocker of the last round. Ricky Stewart had ripped an absolute tear off them. He knew what it meant to play for Ricky Stewart. He knew what it meant to play for the Canberra Raiders, and he knew what it meant to play for his teammates. And he thought, if I've got no fucking leg, doesn't matter. I'm going to get back out there. I can still hobble along. That thing looked like a balloon while he was sitting on the sideline. That first bomb he caught diffused, and he looked like he could barely walk, but he stayed out there and he finished the game. Latrell Mitchell, his coach's job is on the line. The Bunnies are sitting there looking like spoon favourites. They're playing at home with a game where up against the Warriors, where they've got great history against them, and they can turn this thing around. And he just played like dog shit. He had some absolute grubby moments in terms of the two penalties where he got put on report. And it's just an effort thing, man. When you've got a guy like Rapana who knows the standards and he wants to uphold it to it and just show where he is and where he holds himself amongst his peers, it's almost like Latrell at the moment thinks he's a little bit bigger than the club, a little bit bigger than the game. And I get, after that elbow to Johnson, he tried to grab him by the head. He didn't mean it, but he was leading with that elbow there, and it's just stupid shit. Just catch the ball, mate. Get on your horse and go. When you've got 84 run meters, Jordan Rapana potentially had a dislocated kneecap. It looked like a balloon. He had a crutch under one arm, and he's still running for 119 meters in 45 minutes. Like, I mean, seriously, man. So, Latrell Mitchell, you are our grub of the week in this one, and I wanted to highlight that because I thought it was absolutely too much mana from Rapana in that one.
Nah, I mean, well and truly deserved in my eyes. I mean, there was some incidents in the Roosters game that I thought maybe Dom Young could be a contender because he just cold-cocked Blake Taff and knocked him out cold. But when you're, you know, throwing an elbow at Johnson that gets you 3 weeks, you're tipping Tohu Harris up unnecessarily. It wasn't dangerous, but it was not necessary. It goes back to your point of, you know, some brain explosions that he has sometimes. And then also Jackson Ford, as he went over the line, hit him really high in trying to stop that try attempt. So he's a weird case, old Latrell. He's very easy to frustrate and very easy to throw off his game when it's going completely wrong. But when it is a tight situation and the game needs to be won, I do consider him one of the more clutch players, and he is composed in those situations. He's just got to kind of take bits and pieces from what he's like in those moments and kind of apply it to when his team's struggling or not doing well and try to inspire a comeback instead of just throwing the toys out of the cot and then costing you 3 weeks from suspensions from doing stupid shit like this. So, yeah, Latrell, grab of the week. Well-deserved. Second rooster in a row from us. Oh, rub it up.
Yeah, nah, I agree with you as well. He's a frustrating player in terms of he can turn it on, but there's so many times where it's just off, and it's well off at the moment. The Ferrari's parked in the garage. There's no air in the tyres. We've lost the keys. So, yeah, Latrell, they got to turn it around. Now we move into the preview. We are in round six. All of these odds are accurate as of Tuesday at 6 p.m. and we're kicking it off with the Knights taking on the Roosters at McDonald Jones Stadium. The Knights are $1.56 favourites in this one. The Roosters are $2.45 underdogs with the line sitting at 4.5. No change to the side that got the job done against the Dragons last week for the Knights. Cogger and Hastings, they still remain in the halves. Dylan Lucas, he again fills in for the injured Tyson Frizzell. For the Roosters, Teddy and Walker out both due to concussion, which sees Manu move to fullback. Watson moves to 5'8", and Carey shifts to number 7. Interesting move there. I would have liked to have seen Sandon Smith come back in. I thought he did an absolute jobby there. Junior Polga comes in for Dong Young as well. And Michael Jennings, a lot of news out in the media at the moment, which we probably won't dwell on too much, will start in game 300 for the Roosters. So both teams come into this 2-4 on the season. The Roosters actually have a 73% win rate at McDonald Jones Stadium, having won 16 of their 22 matches here. So again, we're looking at what was previously the Dragons with a fantastic record coming in here, and the Roosters have a good record here as well. Roosters have also won 6 of their last 7 games against the Knights and have also won 6 of their last 7 games against them at McDonald's Stadium. A lot of outs for the Roosters in this one, but there's a lot of guys that can kind of slot into those positions quite comfortably as well. So I do think that the Roosters still win this, and that's where I'm going to go.
Damn. Yeah, this is a tough game to start the week. They've been kind of doing that lately, making the Thursday games, making them close and making you have to think quite hard about them. But I do like the Knights here. The Knights do return home where they haven't lost so far this year. It's kind of two teams in the opposite trend lines in terms of form, in my opinion. Newcastle are building. They beat the Storm. Then they went close to the Warriors over here. And then they put together their most patient and best attacking performance against the Dragons in torrential rain, putting 30 points on them last week. Whereas the Roosters have mistakes creeping into their game against the Panthers and then just completely lost the plot, balls to the wall against the Bulldogs with 16 errors, a red card and a yellow card. So I don't like the direction that the Roosters are going, and I do like the direction that the Knights are going back to the form that they showed last year. The Knights pretty much have a full team with Hastings backing up after a successful return last week. Whereas Tedesco go down their captain, Roosters go down their captain in Tedesco, full field threat and Dom Young and key playmaker in Sam Walker. They do have guys that can back up, but I just don't like that for them, especially after the performance they put together last week. Still a strong forward pack, though, it has to be noted. And there were moments where they were just as dangerous with 12 and 11 men, nearly pulling off an epic comeback. But I am going to back the Knights in a close one, 1-12, paying $2.80.
Yeah, I like it. I like all your points as well. The only thing I'll add to that is adversity. You can put your back up a wall and do some weird things. My best bet for this game is Daniel Tupou. He's scored 7 tries in his last 8 games against the Knights. I like him to crash over here. Only thing after putting this down as my tip, when I did see that Watson came in at 5'8 on that left side, it did have me question it a little bit, especially when you got Hogwarts Manu out the back there. But that record is fantastic for him there. Partnered up with the Roosters at a plus 15.5. I've got second thoughts. These bad juju games, it's interesting ones. So I've got a good blanket there, and that'll get you $3.10. Now the Storm, they take on the Bulldogs at Amy Park. Feels like the Storm seem to just be anchored in at Amy Park at the moment. Home again. They are $1.13 favourites in this one, and the Bulldogs are $6 underdogs with the line at 18.5. When I saw these odds, it'll be interesting to see what they sit at currently when it comes out, because I thought, what the fuck is going on here? You want to jump on that right now. The Storm, no changes for them. Big Nelson, though, is on the extended squad, so his return date looms. The Bulldogs, Critter moves to fullback for Taff. Kiraz shifts to centre. Adokar returns on the wing. Jaden Salmon, he moves into that 13 role to replace Mann, and Curran moves to the second row. So a lot of reshuffling for the Dogs. But that's what happens when you bring in a whole heap of utilities. They can play absolutely everywhere.
Yeah.
This is the 46th meeting between these two. The Storm are absolutely unstoppable at home. They are 3-4 this season and really for me, only seeing consistency in that spine just now, and it's going to get real dangerous real soon. They've got a 75% win rate at home. The Dogs have only won 4 of their 10 games at Amy Park. The Storm have won 7 of their last 8 games against the Bulldogs, and I think they're going to get another dub in this one.
Yeah, I mean, I am picking the Storm. I'll start with that much in terms of all tipping competitions and stuff like that. I will be picking the Storm. They have looked really good on attack, especially last week with the big four all playing. And they can get up and down the field easily and make a lot of breaks. So I am picking them to win. The Bulldogs have a few losses as well. Kurt Mann is a pretty important piece to lose. And then Blake Taff, you know, is out as well. But they still have the core of their team. And like you said, they've got utilities backing up. And they might get a little bit better with Crichton going to fullback. And it'll be interesting to see how he goes in his first chance there. So I don't hate that Taff is out. And I also remember the Bulldogs beat the Storm 26-12 in the last time the Storm lost at Amy Park. So, I mean, that could be a little bit of an omen there. They are a very momentum-driven team. The last couple of years, they've shown that. And then some of the point-scoring explosions that they've had so far this year have kind of shown that as well. And the Storm defense comes and goes. They've had some really impressive performances, and then they've conceded, you know, 26 to the Warriors at home and 32 to the Broncos last week in a game they probably should have lost if not for, you know, a couple of bomb tries. So the line's too disrespectful. I'm going to have to take, as my play this week, the Bulldogs plus 18.5 line at $1.90. I think that is just too much points and the Bulldogs can cover at least.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, yeah, completely disrespectful. As soon as I saw that 18.5, I thought, holy heck. I mean, there are a few outs for the Dogs, but like you said, there's a lot of guys to cover, and it's almost, I feel like you're not really losing much by putting Critter at the back. If anything, we're potentially going to see them, if he plays an absolute blinder, gain something more. And a lot of what was rumoured with him coming to the club to take that fullback spot. My best bet for this game, though, is Ryan Pappenhuyzen. He has scored 5 tries in his last 2 games against the Bulldogs. If the line is sitting at 18.5, the bookies know something. They are worried that Pappenhuyzen is going to tear it up again. So I'm going to partner that up with the Storm to get the victory, and that will double your money at $2. Now, the Broncos take on the Finns at Suncorp Stadium. The Broncos are $1.33 favourites. Finns up there, JT. The Dolphins are 3.35 underdogs, and the line is at 8.5. So Walsh returns for the Broncos after his facial fracture. We will see the masked freak out there on the field. Saylor moves to the interchange. Jock Madden replaces Adam Reynolds, and Corey Oates starts on the wing for Mariner. Willison also returns on the bench. Interesting one, running Madden in there. I almost would have liked them in this game to have put Mam at 7 and put Tristan Saylor at 5'8", and just see how that went. I feel like Mam's kind of going to be that guy that sort of may not turn into a halfback post Adam Reynolds, but he's going to be that sort of like lead guy there. So given the reins again in this one, I don't think he did too bad of a job in that Storm game, and Saylor's just looked so dangerous, man. Dolphins, though, Flegler has been named despite his shoulder injuries. Farnworth and Kafusi are out for a number of weeks. Kafusi found a line break and he blew his hamstring straight away in that one. Tessie New comes in at centre, and Kenny, he slots into the back row. Now it's 2-0, the series between the Broncos and the Finns. I think they had a lot to be cleaned out in the experience with injured players in this one. This would be a genuine contest. Sorry, I'm talking about the Finns here. They've got a lot of outs, obviously, coming into this one. If they had a lot of those injured guys in, I think this would be a hell of a contest between them, a real back-and-forth game, something that might be quite low scoring. It could still turn out that way, but I would have liked to have seen both of these teams go at each other strong, or like at their strongest, I should say, with Reynolds as well. And it sort of just piggybacks on my point earlier in terms of the Finns getting to see them against some genuine contenders. Hammer, I pulled the sheets back on this one last week. I'm going to make my bed in this one now, and I'm going to sleep on it for the season. He is looking like a Dally M player. He's got it written all over him. He's already starting with the little montage and getting the clips ready. There's been so much Finns up at the moment. I'm sitting there with my fin up on the couch. He's just fantastic. He's making waves in the leaderboard already. And like I said, when you're looking through that team, Jeremy Marshall-King will pick up a couple points. Katoa might pick up a couple points. But Hammer, man, He's gonna be taking that home most weeks, I'd say. Anyway, my pick for this one, Broncos win.
Okay, yeah, and I do agree with that, but I saw the Dally M leaderboard as it stands at the moment, and Kalen Ponga has got a pretty clear lead, and he does kind of fit the mold of your Dally M criteria being sort of like a one-man show for the Newcastle Knights. So
heaps of tattoos, hot boy in Newcastle, blonde hair, potentially Queensland. Yeah, I see you.
Yeah, so, I mean, the lead he's got at the moment could potentially keep him up there, but, man, I'd love to see it because I'm guessing I'm a second-team Dolphins guy now, so I'm going to go against them, though, which is pretty unpatriotic of me. I'm taking the Broncos because, you know, even with the injuries that they've had, they've still looked extremely dangerous, scoring 32 last week in a game they probably should have won, like I said before, and also beating the Cowboys, who have been, you know, looking pretty good themselves, beat them 38-12, and that was when they were at full strength the week before last. So the Broncos are still very dangerous, and they get bolstered by the inclusion of Reece Walsh, who might be one of the most dangerous and threatening players drifting around in a back line that you could possibly have. So really good from them to get him back. The Dolphins also looked good, but like we've highlighted before, they've only been versing real low-tier competition where the Broncos have just run the gauntlet. So this is their first real test, and now they miss two key defenders in Farmworth and Kafusi. So with the Broncos being as dangerous as they are, I think they're gonna little bro the Dolphins. I think they're going to show them that you're not quite ready for this jump up yet, little bro. So I'm going to take the Broncos, and I am actually going to take them to cover that -9.5 line at $1.90. I think they get the job done in Suncorp.
Nice. Now, both of the previous results were a 1-12 margin. Victories to the Broncos in the last two meetings between these two teams. Selwyn Cobbo has scored 4 tries in his last 2 games against the Finns. I know he was on the wing in that one, but I actually really like him here still in this one with no Farmworth up against him as well. So I'm going to take Selwyn Cobbo and the Broncos to win at $3.10. Now, we're talking about unpatriotic. The Warriors take on the Manly Seagulls at Go Media Stadium. The Warriors are $1.50 favourites. Manly are $2.60 underdogs, and the line sits at 5.5. DWZ and Kate Whale, they return. Archius shifts back to centre. Pompey drops out of the squad. Mitch Barnett, he's going to move to prop with Bunty Arfire out for a number of weeks due to a hamstring issue. For Manly, we see Burbo. He's going to shift out into the centres to replace Ruben Garrick. Interesting that we're still seeing no Shuey out there as well. He's been playing a lot of New South Wales Cup minutes at the moment, and I sort of thought this would be the time that they'd pull trigger on him, but it is kind of interesting to see that they really haven't, and I do like what Burbo's been doing this season as well. Now, I hate these games. Both teams come into this one 3-5 on the season. Manly have a good record at Mount Smart. They are 10-15 here, and Manly have won 3 of their last 4 games against the Warriors and have won their last 2 games against them at Mount Smart. I think they get it done here, though. The Warriors, I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
And hopefully the Jew on the field, it stays out there for Manly, and they keep playing with a bar of soap at the moment. And the reason why I hate these games is because I am a Manly fan. I do love the Seagulls, but I am from Auckland. I am from New Zealand, and you got to jump on the Warriors. And I do think that they've got a genuine shot here as well, playing at Mount Smart. It's a slightly earlier game at 5 o'clock as well. It's another sold-out stadium. And it was a tight affair when they played last week. I believe last time they played there as well. I believe Manly got up early in that one before the Wires came back. And I could potentially see something like that happening again. I was in the crowd and I was throwing myself around quite a bit earlier on that one, getting amongst it all. But in this one, up the Wires.
Yeah. I was kind of wondering where your heart would go because you're kind of torn between two teams there. And it's good to see you've picked the good side. You've come to the Warriors and you've picked them to win. I'm going to back you up because my heart is a lot less torn. But unbiasedly, I do think they should win this game. They won the last meeting, like you said, 29-22. And they've just started looking better and better from each week. And especially as the injuries start to return, CNK has come back. He's looked amazing in his return. They've got beautiful shape in the strike zone. They've showed threat around the block hole with Wade Egan starting to play good minutes. And they dominate yardage with the forwards and out of exits with the backs. So Warriors are looking really, really good. Could be up there in a power ranking at the top, honestly, in terms of the form they've shown. Watene Zalesniak and Capewell returning is huge for them as well. Whereas the Seagulls did bounce back nicely last week after an absolute horror performance against the Dragons. But they still, you know, I don't want to call foul, but that game seemed like it was kind of gifted to them to honor Cherry Evans on his, you know, monumentous day. The penalty count was 11-3, and then that try that Cooler got with the knock-on from Talau was absolutely atrocious. So I think the fix was in that game, but they still did play well. They, you know, they finished opportunities, and they did, you know, get repeat sets and control the portion of the territory that was given to them. But they do seem a little more flawed than the Warriors do. They are still a good team. You know, DCE can control a game with his boot, and Tommy Turbo is a threat from anywhere on the field. But, you know, I will give them the respect of not going Warriors 13+, but I think the Warriors can do a jobby on them, cover the line at -5.5 for $1.90.
Nice. I like it. And I agree with you on that one. Obviously, the Sea Eagles blew that game out against Penrith, but I really think the momentum shifted off the back of that call, and that sort of that got the home crowd up. It was a very big turn of events when it's a call like that and it's on your line and a try-scoring opportunity and it just shifts like that as well. But, I mean, nonetheless, they got the job done. This is going to be a tough game, though, and I do think Homoli is some fantastic jam in this one, coming up against Tamate Martin on the edge, and I think DCE will pepper him early in this one. My best bet, though, for this game is there's not a lot of stats coming into this that lead around the try-scorer situation. There's been a few shifts around within the midfield backs as well. But Dallin had three the last time that they played here at home against Manly. And I'm going to back him here again in this one, but just for one. And I'm going to take the Warriors at a +6.5 because I do like Manly, respectfully. But I do think they're going to get the job done in this one. So that will get you a respectable $2.30. That is DWZ into the Warriors at +6.5. Now the Eels, they take on the Cowboys at CommBank Stadium. Cowboys are $1.62 favourites in this one. The Eels are $2.30 underdogs, and the line is at 3.5. Now, Brad Arthur has brought the axe out, he's sharpened it, and he's swung it all across the backs there. Mike Acevo has been dropped, Winamu Gregg has been dropped, Blaise Talangi has been dropped. Morgan Harper comes into centre, Simonson shifts out to the wing, and Arcee gets a crack in that 6 jersey. I would have liked to have seen Blaise retain the centre position in this one, Simonson move to the wing, and Arcee get the crack at 6. I think that's probably what should have happened a couple of weeks ago, and I think it's a little bit of a shame to axe Blaise, who's a rookie, off his performances at 5'8 in this one, where it sort of has hindered on Dill Brown getting the job done. So I do think he's a little bit harsh done by there. For the Cowboys, though, Tom Chester is going to take that centre spot as Zach Labor is out for the season with an ACL injury, which is a huge blow for them because he was playing some fantastic footy. Now, the Cowboys, they can't buy a win here at a core stadium. They have won 6 of their 20 games here. That's a 30% win rate at a core stadium, and the Eels have a 63% win rate. The Eels have won 4 of their last 6 games against the Cowboys and have won their last 3 games against the Cowboys at CommBank Stadium. Now, we all know how dangerous the Cowboys are. That's why I'm going to tip them in this one. But this does feel like one of those games where there's a lot riding on it. And the Cowboys, what we show, or they showed last week, they can give up some points. The Titans haven't scored much of them this year, but they managed to pile on a few at the Cowboys. They got a few errors in them. So Cowboys, I think, get it done here, but man, this is a bit wishy-washy.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree with all your points. I will be taking the Cowboys as well. I agree with that main point. But it is a very weird game because I could definitely see the Eels, you know, getting the surprise upset just off the back of their forwards and taking some random opportunities. But I do think the Cowboys will win. They did win the last meeting between the two teams, 24-16. Funnily enough, they split the series, both games being 24-16 last year. So, I mean, if it's 24-16 again, that'll be funny. Labor, unfortunately, goes down with the ACL injury. That is sort of like the only player they're missing, though. It is a pretty full-strength squad. And they are looking exactly like the same team as last year, with all the exciting attack and early shifts and dead and show-and-goes, Valentine Holmes line breaks. They're looking like that team that, you know, looks amazing at some points, but just still has a lot of red flags, especially with the defense, with teams being able to roll yardage on them and then break them open and conceding points in bunches like they did to the Titans and the Broncos in the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, Cowboys, they should win this one. The Eels have really jumbled up their team, But at the end of the day, the identity of it is that they're a shell of themselves without Mitchell Moses. I think there's strong offloading forwards. There's nothing to capitalize on the opportunity that they get off those offloads. I think it's just kind of like random and they kind of get lost. Whereas Moses plays really good eyes up footy and he can take advantage of those opportunities. So they just look really like a shell of themselves without Mitchell Moses out there, no matter what the combination they put out there. So I think as well, in terms of your Blaise Taulagi point, get rid of Morgan Harper. How does he keep retaining his spots? He's not that good. I've never really been a fan. Just to go to against the Eels as well, the Raiders' explosive attack with their young guns really hurt the edges of the Eels last week as well. So I think that's something the Cowboys can attack as well. But I think it will be a close game. I do still respect the Eels forward pack. I'm going to take the Cowboys 1-12 at $2.88.
Nice. I like it. My best bet for this game, the right winger for the Cowboys has scored a total of 8 tries in the last 4 games against the Eels. Kyle Fowle, the right winger, he's just overtaken Matty Bowen for the top try scorer out there for the Cowboys. And you partner that up with the Cowboys 2-win at $3.10. Now, the much-anticipated Rabbitohs, they take on the Sharks at Accor Stadium. All eyes on this one and Jason Demetrio. The Sharks, they are $1.38 favourites. The Rabbitohs are a whopping $3.10 underdogs, and the line is at 8.5. Now, I've said it before, it's a bit of an armour cane again. Demetrio, you've done it again. Latrell, he's obviously suspended, 3-game suspension, which sees J.R. Gray move in. We'd been calling for this for a couple of weeks just to see the young guy go in there. Not drop Latrell, obviously, but it's happened eventually. Munro, he comes back onto the wing, which is actually huge for the Bunnies. I really like this for them. It's a great player for them moving forward, and the more experience he can get, the better. Now, Peter Mamzello, he comes in and is the new hooker with Damian Cook relegated to 18th man. So all of the noise on Cody Walker and on Latrell Mitchell, and we see Damian Cook shafted to the 18th man again. For the Sharkies, we see Brendan Nakora, he returns from suspension, and Talakai, he actually moves to the bench, which I like this move, and we see Kyle Iroh retain his spot at the center position. Now the Bunnies, they are 1-5 on the season. The Sharks are 3-4. Only thing that I am liking here is South Sydney have no expectations on them this week. I know there's a lot of news on Demetrio, but this squad coming out here, you're not going to sit here and you're going to think, how did the Bunnies lose that one? There's a lot of rookies in here. There's so much noise going around, but there isn't a hell of a lot of expectations. The Sharks do have a 39% win rate here, 12 wins from 31 games at Accor Stadium. Bunnies have won 4 of their last 6 games against the Sharks. And at Accor Stadium, the Bunnies have won the last 3 in a row. That was 2016, 2018, and 2020, so a long time ago. But nonetheless, it's a record. So I think that the Sharks win this one. But again, I'm looking at this one going, oh, this could potentially go anywhere.
Yeah, I have a little bit more confidence in the Sharkies. I think they're going to get this one done pretty comfortably. The Sharks, last time they played, beat a full-strength Rabbitohs with Latrell and all, 26-18 over in Perth. And, you know, in terms of the Rabbitohs, they're just an absolute mess, man. Demetrio, you could melt steel on the seat he's sitting on. He is on the hottest of hot seats. And one of their best players, Latrell, is suspended, with Damian Cook being dropped to 18th man. So it just gives me a whole icky feel about the team and the vibe of it all at the moment. Whereas the Sharks still have their share of forward injuries, but other than a blip against the Tigers, they've looked really good. And that includes wins over the Raiders and the Warriors, who I rate quite highly this season. So I think they'll be fresh and hungry coming off a bye. I think they can cut them up very similar to what the Warriors did. The Rabbitohs still have a strongish forward pack. So I'm not going to go 13+. I'm just going to go the Sharks to cover the -7.5 line at $1.83. But I'm pretty confident the Sharks can come off the bye and do a number on this mess of a team.
Yeah, I like it. My best bet for this game, Sione Katoa, he's scored a try in his last 2 games against the Bunnies. I like him here in this one. That left edge for South Sydney, it's absolutely shocking at the moment. You got to hump it while it's there, so I'm going to hump it in this one. Katoa and the Sharks, +6.5 at $2.30. Now the Tigers, Tiger Town, they take on the Dragons at Campbelltown Sports Stadium. The Tigers, this is, when I was writing this down, they are coming into this at $1.82 favorites, and I can't remember the last time I've said the Tigers are favorites coming into this one, but they're sitting on the green. The Dragons, they are $2 underdogs, but the line does sit at 1.5. Bateman is out. Seyfarth comes in for him. For the Dragons, Hamasali returns and DeBellin shifts to the bench. Tiger Town, they have a 41% win rate here. The Dragons, they have won 3 of their last 4 games here, though. The Dragons have won 3 of their last 4 games against the Tigers as well. Despite being the favourites in this one, I am going to lean towards the Dragons to pip them here. And just, I think it's going to come off the kicking game of Ben Hunt. I think maybe a little bit more X factor and flair coming from Sloan's end, just on the attack, not on the defensive end. And I mean, when you've got a guy like Zach Lomax who's killing it at the moment, I think he's got a good chance at crossing there. So I do like the Dragons to get this one.
Yeah, it's a close game. I don't hate it. The odds kind of reflect that being so close, +1.5 line. And last year they split these games. They played twice and split them in really close encounters. 18-14, the Dragons won at home. And then 18-16, the Tigers won in Magic Round. But that was pre-Benji Tigers. I'm liking this Tigers team. I think they're a more accurate team with great front ball of Yutoka Manu and Twal and a couple of the good forwards they got going there now. And they're led around the park by Aiden Caesar, who has been in phenomenal form since coming back. And I think he can kind of maybe match the kicking game of Ben Hunt and take the Tigers around the field well himself. The Dragons still don't really impress me. Like, they're a side with some decent talent and they can break you, and they've got some extremely talented players in Lomax, and I like the addition of Luciano Leilua. I think he's been outstanding since coming over there. But they still, you know, give away far too many errors and far too many penalties. And I'm just pretty much putting this down to who is the team I trust to win a close encounter more. And at the moment, I actually think it's the Tigers, especially having already 2 wins on the season. And one of them was a close encounter with the Eels, which they were lucky to survive a shank from Clint Gutherson. But, you know, still won the game off a drop goal from Caesar. I'll take the safer team. I think it could be a back and forth affair. The 2 games last year suggested it'll be close, so I'm going to back the Tigers 1-12 at $3, and hopefully Aaron gets off our back for not backing the Tigers.
Yeah.
Off my back.
He's on mine as well. Now, Jordan, I love what you're saying. All of the stats point towards a very close margin in this one, and 6 of the last 7 games have been decided by a close margin in this one, close being 1-12. I'm going to take either team to win this 1-12, partnered up with Zach Lomax at $3.50. Now, the Raiders, they take on the Titans at GAO Stadium. The Raiders are $1.30 favourites here. The Titans are $3.60 underdogs, and the line sitting at 10.5. Titans foreign named, despite his ankle issues. It'll be interesting to see what happens come closer to kickoff. If we see Brimo move into that 5-8 role, which I kind of think he should move into it. I was harping on about all of this last year, and it's starting to come to fruition again this year. Raiders, Chevy Stewart, though, he's named at fullback to replace Rapina. Zach Hosking returns from concussion, and Horsbro drops off the bench due to a groin injury. He's been in and out of the squad this season. Morgan Smithies has been absolutely fantastic. One player to watch, though, Chevy Stewart, who I just highlighted before, coming into fullback to replace Rapina, absolutely lights out. They reckon he's going to be the guy that takes the Raiders. He's going to take that Raiders fullback spot moving forward. And everything was pointing towards Xavier Savage taking that fullback spot, but he's really found a home on the wing and he's looked fantastic there. Massive game here. I mean, Rapina doesn't have too many left in the boots there. I think he's in for a big one on debut, and it's a good squad to come up against as well. He's not going to get peppered by a hell of a lot of kicks in this. Now, the Titans, they have a 36% win rate at GAO Stadium, and the Raiders have won 6 of their last 7 games against them. Man, they just put 40 points on it. I'm going to sit up on my high horse and keep holding on to that Raiders take as long as I can. I think they'll get another one here.
Yeah, and I was laughing about your Chevy Stewart take before, because I had a point here saying they lose Rapana, but if this young talent is anything like what the young talent for the Raiders showed last week, he's going to be an explosive gun that can cut a game open. So that's funny that he actually might be that. So, I mean, the Raiders just get more and more dangerous the more we see of them, because their outside showed that they have some absolutely explosive ability. Xavier Savage, he was my kind of second pick for TBC Live Power Play of the Week, with his try where he, you know, steps back on the inside, shows absolute pace. I think he might be a new top contender for top 5 fastest guy in the NRL. Then, you know, comes back infield. Dylan Brown is no slouch. kind of was making gains, but then he just shifts it back into second gear, takes off and finishes a try. Absolutely outstanding from him.
I love watching that the replay of that, because I agree. When he hits that left foot step over Gutho and he gets into the clear, and you can see Dylan Brown's got the angle on him. And if you watch it quickly, the arms are going, but fuck, the head's like bouncing, moving back and forth. It's just, he is going for it.
You'd love to see pure runners. We actually got an opportunity to see two pure runners in space. Cooler, that really no try break that he got. His form is so perfect, man. Just straight up and down. Perfect running style, and that's why they're so fast. So shout out to whoever their sprint coach is or whoever's got them moving the way they are, because they look good, man. And the Raiders look good, just to go back to my point, because they've got all those guys. They've got a great kicking half in Jamal Fogarty. They've got one of the strongest forward packs in the competition with the returning Zach Hoskin. And they won the last two meetings against the Titans last year, 26-22 at home and 36-24 away. You know, the Titans have been getting better as more of their injured players have come back, but that defense, man, like you've highlighted, they still concede an average of 31.3 points per game, and the Raiders just showed that they can cut a team to bits. So in clear conditions, I expect a high-scoring but comfortable win from the Raiders. I think the Titans will still get their fair share of tries because I like their attack, but I'm going to take the Raiders 13-plus at $2.25 and the total points over 43.5 at $1.87 on a clear Sunday night. Both their last two games went over that total points mark, total points of 43.5 with 48 and 50 by the looks of it. So these guys know how to run up the scores. I'm going to take those two options as my bets this week.
Yeah, I like it. My best bet for this one, Matty Timoko, he's scored 4 tries in his last 3 games against the Titans. He's been absolutely fantastic. One of the form centers in the competition right now. For a little man, he packs a hell of a punch with him. He comes up against Brian Kelly, who has shown that he is quite strong defensively. But Matty Timoko, he can just get you from wherever. I really like his chances here. And I partnered that up with the Raiders to win, and that'll get you $2.60 odds. So just to recap all of our best bets for this one, I've got Daniel Tupou and the Roosters win at $3.10. Ryan Pappenhausen and the Storm to win at $2. Salwyn Cobbo, Corn on a Cob, back with the Broncos to win at $3.10. DWZ Warriors plus 6.5 at $2.30. Kyle Fout, try-scoring machine, into the Cowboys to win at $3.10. Sione Katoa up against that left edge of the Rabbitohs. Grab it while it's hot. Sharks 6.5, plus 6.5 in that one at $2.30. Now, either team to win 1-12 into Zach Lomax to score at $3.50. And anchoring it there with Matty Timoko and the Raiders to win at $2.60.
Very nice. And for my best bets, I have gone Knights 1-12 at $2.80. Bulldogs plus 18.5 at that disrespectful line at $1.90. Broncos minus 9.5 at $1.90. Warriors minus 5.5 at $1.90. Line takes here. Cowboys 1-12 at $2.88. Sharks to cover the minus 7.5 line at $1.83. Tigers in a close one, 1-12 at $3. And then rounding it out with a double bet, Raiders plus 13 plus at $2.25. And total points over 43.5 at $1.87.
Nice. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at mine. I'm listening to yours. I'm thinking they're all absolutely fantastic bets. I mean, if you've been following along at the moment, we're not sitting too bad at the moment. I mean, you might as well jump on, have a dabble with us. We're not doing too shabby, and we're letting you know how we're going as well. All of those look super juicy. Now we're going to move into the repeat set bet. What I was thinking, I almost need to get you a necklace, and we need to put a padlock on that thing every time you hit a lock on it, because you're full of them at the moment, and it's going to be a big, heavy necklace come the end of it. Now, this is where we put a nice little grubber along the ground. We're looking for a repeat set in this one, something that's going to put some money in your pocket, nice and tasty, and have a crack with it on another day. Jordan, these are just your absolute bread and butter in this one, so you take us away, mate. What is your repeat set bet?
Yeah, so this was a bit of a hard week to find one that I was totally certain about, but I've kind of gone with my heart, and it's when you back the Warriors, good things have happened, and I've started doing that since last year, and good things have been happening. This might be a little bit on the greedy side, but hopefully, you know, we can keep that streak going. Warriors minus 5.5 at $1.90. I haven't gone them head-to-head because it wasn't quite juicy enough, but we can put a nice little grubber through on that. get it into the in goal, and hopefully they cover that line and get the win over the Seagulls at home.
Yeah, I like it, man. And you've got to be greedy with the Warriors at the moment. They've just culled a rabbit. You've got a little rabbit foot in your pocket. Just rub it for some good luck. And yeah, I'm backing you on that one. My repeat set bet for this one is Sione Katoa anytime try scorer at $2.10. The Bunnies left edge is shot. Like I said, just go out there. The Sharkies, Nico Hines, Brendan Nakora, Sione Katoa. Name who you want, man. They're just going to be dry humping that edge the whole game. I like them to go there and him to pick up a nice little meat pie in this one. And for the 40-20 bet, so this is where we're anchoring ourselves in that 40 mark. We're looking to swing the momentum of it here. We're going to hit a home run play. This is a bet of no less than 420 odds. I'll kick us off on this one. So I love my spirals, man, and I seem to be sitting at this $4.20 cap limit. Nothing that goes under, but I've just jumped on the field behind this one and I've doubled that one. So we've got Ryan Papenhuyzen, Matt Tomoko, and Sione Katoa, all anytime try scorer. Ryan Papenhuyzen, fantastic record against the Bulldogs. Matt Tomoko, that guy might be 5 foot tall, but he packs an absolute punch. They're coming up against the Titans. They fucking suck at the moment. Another team that fucking sucks at the moment is the Rabbitohs, which Sione Katoa is playing. He's my lock and he's anchoring us here. That'll get you $8.17 odds. So why not have a punt? Nice Sunday afternoon. Kick the footy around and you might win some good money.
Yeah, and that is some really good money. Unfortunately, I have been shanking my 40-20s off into the crowd. So I've got a good grubber on me, but my territorial kicking needs some work. So I've gone a little bit more humble just because we've got to get one of these at some point. $4.27 is my odds. I'm starting it off with the Sharks, -8.5. Somewhere during my research, the line increased by one. I didn't do that personally, but it's probably taken me over the $4.20 mark. So Sharks -8.5 to cover that line. And then, like you said, that last game should be a given that the Raiders get it done against some poor team in the Titans. I'm going Raiders 13+, bundle that up, and surely a 40-20. Has got to skewer off and get us some territory in this one.
Yeah, I love it. And I love those words right at the end. Should be a 13+. We've got confidence leading into this one, but I do like it. The Sharks, I think they're going to dry hump them. The Raiders, the Titans suck at the moment, and it's at home, and it's on a Sunday afternoon, and it's fantastic weather. Those outside backs are going to clean up. I love it. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Jump on all of those bets. They're going to be up on the Instagram page as well. Follow us along on YouTube. Subscribe to that. Back us in for some free NRL tips as well. We're in the green on that one, and we're heading on a nice little trajectory as we reach round 6. But nonetheless, we will see you all next week, and up the mighty Waz.
Up the Waz.